Hello, lovely listeners. We're talking weddings today, and God knows it's a complete minefield. So if you're getting married soon, you're someone's bridesmaid, or you simply love weddings, this is the Talk 20s episode for you. And I am so excited for this episode because most of you guys know I'm getting married this year. So there's no better time for a special episode of everything you need to know about planning a wedding. And we've got some special guests. Ladies and gentlemen, please be upstanding and welcome the unfiltered bride girls, Georgie and Beth, to the Talk 20s podcast. On with the show. In order to keep bringing you guys tons of free content, we work with brand partners who you'll hear from in this episode, including an advertisement from Zopa Bank. Hello, ladies. I am so excited for this episode. I cannot wait to get started. We always start our podcast episode by asking people to scroll back on their camera rolls and look at a photo from this time last year. And I'm really excited to see your one. So get your phones out. Go on.
Mine's depressing though.
Yours is depressing.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have expected yours to be depressing.
Well, I was on a mini moon in Paris just after my wedding.
Okay.
So I'm looking, my photo is us in our bed having a baguette and a glass of wine.
Oh, I love that. Can we show the camera?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, it's very, you look very French in this. Anyone would mistake you for...
I tried.
Which camera like 17 this camera?
Berets.
It's cute though. What did you do? How long did you go to Paris for?
Like 3 days. We had no time. It was like a whistle stop straight after the wedding, quick mini moon, straight into work.
So you got married in...
We got married New Year's Eve 2022.
Like a whole year ago. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you went on a mini moon. And then this year you've been
We've
on your...
Just gone on a honeymoon.
Honeymoon. Okay. Yeah.
So I'm not too depressed from looking at that.
Yeah.
But I'm still like, oh, that was fun.
What made you want to eat a baguette and bread? A baguette and bread? A baguette in bed.
Why wouldn't you want to eat a baguette in bed?
I know. When in Paris.
Tell a real story.
I said I'd only have sex if we went and got me a baguette. Right. I was like, you want that,
he's
I want
well
this.
Trained. He said yes.
He did. So he went and got the baguette. And then the whole time I was just thinking, after this.
I get the bread.
I baguette.
Love that. What about you, Beth?
Mine is actually of the CAD drawing of our dream house that we bought last year.
That's stunning. Show the cameras. I kind of want to look close though, just because selfishly. Beautiful.
But it was also the most traumatic, stressful experience of my whole entire life buying a house. It's such an emotional roller coaster, which I think people don't actually realise
because being
self-employed as well.
It is a stress, isn't
they
it?
They ask for more and more and more information. Yeah. And honestly, I'd never ever do it again.
Never buy a house again.
Well, I mean, like, I just don't
the,
want
the house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you just never know whether, if it's coming or not. And then you're like, week to go. Because we had to move in really quickly as well and complete really quickly because it was the last plot on site. It was traumatic.
Did you get any say then in like what got built or anything like
no? Everything. It was the view home. So it wasn't a show home. It was a view home. So everything had been picked and I'd like a few changes, but I'm just lucky
if
as
you
a self-employed person.
What would you want to change?
The walls, it's really weird. It's like a grey colour that's like Parma violets in different lights. And it feels very lilac.
Yeah.
And my nan's bedroom's lilac. So I just can't shift that idea.
So you just think you're walking around your nan's house all the time.
Absolutely. My nan's house is lovely, by the way, but...
Not your vibe.
Not my vibe.
And what has happened in the space of a year? Because I know those are like very representative of like what was going on for you, but like you guys have blown up on like socials and in the wedding industry.
Yeah.
Like, go on, give us the insights.
This one year has been... mad. So this time last year we started our own podcast and we were like, cool, let's do it. We want to do it anyway. Mm-hmm. Like there was no kind of theory behind it. We were just like, we'll just sit and chat.
Yeah.
And then from there, we've now, since we started that, we're now on 500,000 downloads. We've done 2 out of our 4 tour dates that we're doing.
And we're coming to the Manchester one tomorrow.
You are coming, so you can let everyone know how emotional it is. I hope you're ready to drink.
I'm excited.
So it's just been that alone, plus then personal lives, plus then our other businesses, it's just been mad.
Yeah.
Mad year. Like,
so you've obviously got Unfiltered Bride podcast brand that you guys do collectively together, but separately you also run wedding companies.
Yeah.
Georgie, so, organiser.
Yeah, planning and coordinating Georgina Rose Events.
And I do styling and the decor. So we're a powerhouse duo.
Yeah. We've got both sides of it, but...
Brian actually labelled us as that.
He
our
did.
Producer. So he called us a powerhouse
producer
duo.
Producer / husband.
Yeah.
Of me. Yeah. I don't know what you're doing with
of
him.
Of me
but
too.
Are you just a joint? It's a threesome kind
and
of thing.
And what drew you guys to weddings? Like what drew you to weddings? Like why did you want to work in weddings?
It's an incredible industry. And I think And you take something from nothing to the end, and it's a very emotional attachment we have to our clients.
Yeah.
But it also isn't for the lighthearted. No. Like, it's the grind.
People, like, especially for my title, wedding planner, they're like, oh my God, I'd love to be a wedding planner. It's so glamorous. And I'm like, you're a joker. It is horrendous. It's long days. It's literally, if something goes wrong, that I'm the person that has to deal with that. So if you literally get bird poo on your dress, I will sort that out for you.
Why, like, did you pick that example?
Because I've literally done that.
How would you get bird poo off a dress?
I had the wipes. So I've got a kit bag with, like, just everything in it. So yeah. I had the wipes. But again, it's just somebody that is there to be like, I've got that, no problem.
How often does that happen? That's lucky, though.
That was quite a rare one. Yeah, but I tried to say that, and I'm like, I'm
are
literally
they still together?
I would literally be like, go
are,
away. I believe they are still together.
Well,
but
lucky,
I'm trying
then,
shit saying it's good luck, because yeah. I'm like, oh, it's good luck on your day.
That would be my worst.
But yeah,
worst
no, not glamorous.
To be honest.
But I loved Father of the Bride growing up, mm-hmm. the film, and that mm-hmm. was it. From that, I was in.
But you tell people not to be like, watch films and be like, I can be a wedding planner.
Yeah, but there's not a wedding planner. Actually, there is, but he's not who I was looking up to. But I just loved the whole, I love weddings.
Yeah.
I love the, not even the love part of it, just the day. It's a cool day.
It is.
It's like,
cool.
It's a really fun.
You guys get to do it, I guess, like every single week. Does it ever get boring?
No. Every
really?
Wedding is completely different.
There's some weddings that I'm at that I'm thinking, this isn't my kind of okay. wedding. And then there's some that you go to which are epic that I'm still like, this isn't what I would do.
Yeah.
But there's so much fun.
And there's always some drama. Like,
there's always drama.
Always drama. And it's yeah. always different at each one.
Because I was going to say that, because I come from an event organising background, but I think the difference between organising events in general and organising weddings is the emotional aspect. Mm-hmm.
And you can't do
a wedding
it again.
Yeah.
Like, I know events are, you do it and then, but you could give everyone their money back and you could be like, we're going to do it again. Like, if all hell went, like, you could give everyone and we're doing it again in 2 weeks. Time. You can't do a wedding
again.
That's
so true.
That's one chance.
Final. It's very final, isn't it?
Yeah, we have 3 hours usually on the morning of a wedding to get it right.
Yeah.
3 hours.
Do you feel the pressure then? Because it's quite intense, because that is someone's very special day that they're obviously like trusting you with. Like, does that ever like stress
Thanks
you out?
For just reminding us it's that very, very special
day.
Yeah.
I like that pressure though. I'm a pressure person.
Okay.
I literally thrive on being stressed and annoyed and like,
your nervous system must be like,
I like that bit. So when something goes wrong, I'm like, I get to fix that. I like it when shit goes wrong mm-hmm. so I can fix it. Mm-hmm. But this
makes you look good at your job, right?
Does make me look good at my job. When everything's going great, I'm like, yeah, cool. I'll be over here if you need me. Like, don't worry about anything. But no, I think you've got to love pressure to work in that industry. Mm-hmm. It's not for the faint-hearted. Mm-hmm. It's mad day.
But it's just like you get a feeling, don't you? It's like the hug you get up with the client. Yeah. Like, I always put that on the socials because I'm like, that's so raw. Mm-hmm. And the other day, one of my brides was like, I just want to see Beth. Like, sorry, I'm just trying to get to Beth. And I'm like, out of like everyone, she wants to come and hug me. And I'm like, that was worth it.
If this is the first time you're tuning into the Talk 20s podcast, allow us to introduce you to our headline sponsors, Zopa Bank, home of the Smart Saver account. If you're a long-term fan of the podcast, you'll already know about Zopa's Smart Saver, which lets you save into personalized pots and boost your savings in exchange for a notice period to access your funds. The longest notice period is 95 days and offers the highest interest rates. To find out more about Zopa's Smart Saver, download the Zopa app. We need to tell you that you need to save a minimum of £1 and the interest is paid monthly and is subject to variation. On with the show.
Yeah.
So how involved do you guys get in the process of like planning a wedding, like from start to finish? Like, are you literally there from like the day dot? Like, how often do you have calls? Like, how what's the ideal way you'd like to plan a wedding with a bride?
So,
and groom, I should add. And groom.
We got told off that on the podcast, but they're like, you're saying that grooms don't do things. We're saying, no, it's more normal that grooms don't do things on an average couple. Yeah. It's the bride we're dealing with, let's mm-hmm. be honest. Depending on what, like, so if I do full wedding planning, mm-hmm. it's right from the start. And it's like, what do you want to do? How much do you want to spend? What are you picturing your day look like? And then we work together the whole way through mm-hmm. to then running the day. Or I do quite a lot of weddings where I coordinate the wedding. So the couple plan everything, they do all of that stuff. And then a month before we get together and they're like, here's everything we've done. I just need you there to run it because they can't do it.
And how often do you go, oh my God, you need to do this,
quite
this, and this.
Yeah. Or I go, your timings are wrong.
Yeah.
Like, good effort, but they're wrong.
It's like marking someone's homework. Like,
literally,
well
and I'm
done,
but like, I'd actually do
good
this.
Good effort.
For an hour for a three-course meal.
Yeah.
Bless you. But yours is... depends on how much styling.
Yeah, again, very similar. We will do like full design and production where it means all the lighting, all the tech mm-hmm. To create that visual so we can we spend a lot of time on that. Especially because if clients are booking us, how it looks matters, mm-hmm. essentially. Or we have clients that just, we go to the extreme of the other end where they just hire some stuff and collect the day before and return it the day after. So
oh, really? Yeah.
We have lots of different levels and lots of different services. And with the clients that we work with very closely, I mean, we talk
a lot.
A lot.
We also have a group chat with both lots of couples. So there's about, 80 brides in there?
Brides, not couples.
No, sorry. Are like some that use me, some that are using Beth that are then together. And there's like 80 brides in this chat. It just goes off.
Yeah.
But it's like nicely, like people will be like, oh my God, this has happened. And then within a minute, there's like seven different, say my makeup artist dropped out. Within 1 minute, everybody has put their own makeup artist. It's so nice. So
it's
like supportive.
Great community, isn't it? And it also means that we can reply quickly. And once we've replied once, they will be like, oh, Georgie and Beth said this or XYZ. Yeah. So it brings everyone together because, you know, sometimes you don't want to speak to your bridesmaids. You don't want to speak to your family. Yeah. It's
tough. Want people that are doing it and going through it.
Yeah, because I feel like obviously I'm getting married this year, but I feel like it's quite a solo experience. Like, I don't know anyone else who's planning a wedding.
No.
Except from like you guys who plan them all the time.
We'll help you, don't we?
So I feel like we're going to get into the juice of talking about weddings. Specifically, we're talk 20s. So talking about getting married in your 20s, what age do you think is the norm that people are getting married? Like your brides, your grooms, like what is, I know it's people can get married at any age, but like what's the average, would you say?
Talking from my couples, I would probably say like 28, 29, mm-hmm. 28 to 32, I reckon, is my really niche market.
Like
if I had to pick, the most of them.
You said the words exactly.
Yeah, really.
It's a very, I'd say, it's still quite a young audience that we work with.
Yeah.
28 to the 32 is still, mm-hmm. in my opinion,
that's the majority.
And how early do you think that they're getting engaged before that? Do people have a long engagement? Do people have a short engagement? Like,
1 to 2 years is normal engagement time, which is fine. Like that gives you enough time to do it all. I've been with my now husband for 13 years.
Yeah.
He proposed after 10 and a half years.
Yeah.
The whole time, and I'm not joking the whole time, I was like, when are we getting married? When are we getting married? In hindsight, and I hope he doesn't watch this, I'm so glad he didn't do it earlier.
Really?
I'm so thankful that we didn't get married at 22, 24. Yeah. We had a child at 21. I was 21 and I was like, we should be getting married now because we've done that.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad we didn't. Our wedding is so...
Because why?
The wedding that we would have had at 22, first of all, wouldn't have accurately represented us at all.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have been able to afford what we want to do. Mm-hmm. Even the people that would have been there wouldn't have been our people.
I think it's the people.
It's so different and I'm so glad that we were older. I say older. How old was I? 30.
Yeah.
Married at 30.
Yeah.
To me, that was like perfect time. If I was recommending it for my daughter, I would say 30.
Because I've also been with Dan for a really long time. So we've been together for 10 years now. Yeah. And
think of what your wedding would have been like
at my God,
23.
No. Just no. It would have been like, it just wouldn't be right. I agree on that. I think like, I see a lot of girls and I really was not a pressure. Like I knew I wanted to get married and I knew it would happen one day, but I wasn't like, I need a ring. Whereas I know some people that are, and I'm just like,
just chill,
got time.
Just wait.
Like, you've got so much time.
Yeah.
Like it can often feel like, I also think people think it's like a commitment thing as well. Like it's like, if you put on a ring, we're like solid.
Yeah.
So I think that's why people want to push it. Like,
yeah. And I think like you've got two good people here to talk because we are the total extreme. So Beth is not yet engaged, have been together a while, and you are now like, come on, hun.
Mm-hmm. How long have you guys been together?
4 years. Mm-hmm. So not too long, but we've known each other for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
We own a house together, we have a dog together.
Yes. When you do all those other life things that people go, at what point is a good point
this
to
is
get
the
married?
Next thing. And he's like, what more do you want from me? We've got a house together. Like that's more important to him than marriage because he's not too bothered about getting married. But we were speaking earlier actually that I had this time scale. I was like, by 25, I want to be engaged.
Mm-hmm.
By 28, I want to have a baby. Like, and I feel for women especially, our clocks are completely different to men.
Yeah.
Typically speaking. And for me, I was like, I wanted to get married first and have kids. And then I was like, actually, no, I'm not too bothered now. I'd have kids and get married. But people who want to get married then have children, we do have this, unfortunately, as women have a clock.
Yeah.
And it does feel like a little bit more pressure.
Women have to literally ask to be asked. We have to be like, when are you going to,
like come
the
on.
Majority of couples, I imagine the girl has at one point said, when are we getting married? Like, come on, everybody else is getting engaged now. And I feel like then we're judged for asking and guys go, the more you ask, the less likely it is to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm like,
That's what's happening in my house at the moment.
Yeah, what? Look at you,
right? But also everybody else at family events are asking, when you guys get married. Passion,
because people get, you'll get to like a certain age or you've been out with your partner for like a year and then it'll be like, you guys going to get married? And it's like, awkward.
And it's
not on me to ask that question.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be like, check over them.
But I feel like if you're together at 21, people don't ask you. So if you've got together young...
I feel like I got asked.
Yeah, I remember getting
his parents, Dan's parents in particular, were like, you can get married. They were very much like, as soon as you found your person, and we managed to, you know.
But I think as childhood sweethearts, like my brother got married very young, but they were together from like 15.
Yeah, true.
And she was like, come on now.
Like, how long did they wait?
I think they got married at like 21, 22. And she was like, we were babies.
Yeah.
But they also didn't...
What's the youngest couple that you've had, that you guys have helped to get married?
18.
Yeah, and it's not my job to be like, just wait. Have a big engagement party. If you feel like you really need to do this thing where you do a showcase for everybody, have an engagement party.
Do you think you should live with someone before you get married?
Yeah, 1,000,000%.
Absolutely.
1,000,000%.
I think you're different people.
Do you know what I also think you should do? Have a child before.
Do you?
Yeah. That tested us.
I actually think that's but you like my brother's got two kids and they're getting married. I think it is a true assessment.
We are going to be
not
together
a child,
forever
a dog,
now.
Like or something to like something you care for like responsibly.
The
so
responsibility
you can see
part
how that,
of it. Because is it going to be that then you do all this together and then they just go and do it? Because you've no idea what's going. I did not choose the way around we did it, but I'm very happy that it happened that way.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense. You can like try it on for size, can't you? Do you think you should separate like all your big life moments or do you think condense them all? Because I think it's quite that when everyone's like, I want to get engaged, I want to get married straight away, and then I want to have a kid and stuff like this, and or I want to buy a house, I want to get a dog. And it's like, I feel like your 20s are quite, or 20s or probably reaching into your 30s, it can feel like quite a lot. And then for a lot of people, it's like,
It's all done.
It's like you've checked all that thing. Like, do you feel like people should be spacing it out? Or do you think it's quite normal to like check it all off?
I think the problem is it's very normal to check it all off. Like I'm now in that bit where I've done everything. Mm-hmm. We've had I don't want any more children. We're married.
How does that make you feel? Like good or excited?
Like free.
Free.
Like I just feel like chill. I can do whatever I want now because nobody's expecting anything of me.
True.
But I do agree like everything is in your 20s. Like you've got to tick off so many boxes when actually there's so many years left. There's so many decades left where technically I haven't got anything left that I need to do, is good and bad.
We do second marriages a lot for our older couples. I say older, 45, 40s,
yeah.
40s.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, they're wild.
Yeah, their weddings are exactly what they want.
No
no issue. So maybe you just need to get your first wedding out of the way.
Get the first
wedding,
and then
that next one. My next one's going to be abroad on a beach.
Who are you marrying? Who are you marrying as well?
I'm going to do Brian again.
So I've got a dilemma. Someone has written in and said, I've been with a boyfriend since we were 20. I just always assumed that we'd get married. He's just told me he doesn't want to get married. What do I do?
How old do we don't know how old they are?
I think this person was, I think they said that they were, I think about 25.
Okay.
I think the assumption is the word there that I always, even outside of whatever scenario, assumption is the key word there. You can never assume. These conversations have got to be had. Because
how early can you have that conversation?
For sure, you could be like, one day I'd like to get married. One day I'd like to have children. And for example, I know somebody who are now in a situation where one wants a child and one doesn't, and they never had that conversation early on. That's a deal breaker for them.
So it's
these conversations have got to happen. It doesn't mean that we're getting locked in.
Yeah.
But it's having a mature, open line of communication.
But the problem is you're not mature at 20.
I know.
That's the...
And also, what if you are? You're a child.
What if you change your mind as well? Like,
yeah, you can change your mind.
Yeah.
But again, it's asking the questions, why do I want to get married? Is there a reason, like, is it because I want the same surname as my children? Maybe we do a registry office. Mm-hmm. Is there a reason why you don't want to get married? Yeah, is it the money you don't want to spend on the wedding?
Because
my partner does not want to spend money on a wedding. He's like, I'd rather invest it. So he doesn't see it as a good investment getting married.
Even though we'd get free decor, basically.
Yeah, yeah. So much stuff. It's difficult because Brian was in the same thing. He didn't want to get married. And I was like, we're getting married. So it's not really, I'm not really asking you. I'm just telling you we are getting married. We're not together. But it was... He grew up at a certain point. I feel like men typically grow up a bit later. Mm. So he, what age? So he must
at
have been
what
probably.
What age did he grow up?
I think 28. Bearing in mind, he had a child at 23. He still didn't grow. Like he was just a child and then something hit and he's a totally different person. Mm. And then he was like, to the point where he was now like, I would want our daughter to get married before she has kids. And I'm like, are you fucking joking me? He's like, you knock me up and then propose like 10 years later. But he's just a total mind shift, like mindset change that you can't force. Yeah, like I don't know how you get.
But he did say though, he just said it clicked in his head one day, and it wasn't like a long thought out process. It was like, okay, I'm ready. Let's get a ring and do it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we're very different as well, because we're not in control of it.
No,
I mean, there's nothing saying that we can't propose. Like,
yeah, true.
I said to Jack, I was like, what would you do if I proposed? He said, I'd say no. And I was like, what? He's like, just out of principle, I don't want to be proposed to.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, fair.
Yeah.
But it's one of those that they have control of it.
It's the only situation we don't decide together and you're expected everything else to be a joint decision. You have to have two signatures on a mortgage, yet he can go and buy an engagement ring and not. It's just weird. I don't know what, I would just speak to him and be like, look, there's a deadline on it.
No, but why don't you want to get married?
Yeah.
What is it because you don't want to spend the money on a big wedding? Okay, let's do a smaller registry office. Let's have some compromise and try and meet both parties. But it's the commitment.
Do you see couples that like don't talk to each other and it's very clear? Like, can you spot that?
I can see couples that won't last.
Really?
Yeah, 100%.
How? What are the telltale signs?
Just the whole they don't communicate with each other. They clearly don't give a shit. But not, I don't mean like the guys don't care about the wedding because that's different.
Yeah.
They just don't care why it's happening, why the bride is picking this song as the entrance song, because it means X, Y, Z, and think they're just not connecting with each other, that you just think you're getting married because it's the next thing that you're supposed to be doing, not because you actually want to get married.
So do you think there are any like telltale signs that you're saying yes to the wrong person?
For me, when the previous question you said it was a finance.
Yeah.
If they're arguing about it and they haven't had that conversation...
And they don't have a joint
bank account. And it's that communication. Everything comes down to communication, that if you're not agreeing on the finances for the wedding, how are you going to agree on finances for your life
to live
when you have children and things like that? So telltale signs of marrying the wrong person. It's really, really difficult because we had a conversation earlier about when we were younger that we weren't our best selves.
No. Yeah.
We hadn't grown.
Which is why I don't think you should be getting married at 21.
Yeah.
We hadn't blossomed. And I think it's about
working... When will we blossom better?
I don't know. I think it's about working through life together, isn't it? And I think a lot of people just give up nowadays very quickly and drop a hat, and it's not how Instagram portrays.
Yeah.
Or how Love Island portrays.
Because also people think that like relationships are like easy breezy, and they're really not.
So
it's hard work.
The majority of it is hard work.
Yeah.
Like you just have to hope, like... I think because people really worry about marriage, and a lot of people split up within a year of marriage. Like I know a lot of couples that have broken up
within
that first year.
Wow.
Because they've then hit normal life and been like, hold on, this is boring. I don't want to be with you. But the other one that does it is then kids. So most people get married and then have kids straight away. They haven't given themselves time to figure out who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And then having kids just like drops
your
level so low, and you've got to hope that you were already like top notch before that.
So what are like the couples that you just see, like who you just know are going to be together forever? Like what are they like?
They're best
feel like
you've got friends. Like
a, yeah, they like each other.
Best
yeah.
friends. They laugh together. They joke together. They have banter. They push boundaries.
Yeah.
But it's down to the key things. I say they respect each other. Mm-hmm.
They're willing to go, like, I don't care about flowers. You pick.
Yeah, yeah.
Not saying, I don't give a shit, do what you want to do. It's more that this is your baby. Like you enjoy this bit. I'll let you guys get on with what you want to do. Here's how much I'm comfortable spending.
Yeah.
Just so you're aware. But I think, they're the ones that have fun.
And
like their weddings are fun.
There's a lot of compromise. Yeah. There's a lot of open communication.
There's a lot of support when it comes to all the family dramas and all those things.
They've
got each other's back. They aren't bitching about their partner. They are one unit against everybody else.
Yeah.
It's them against the world.
That's cute. Them against the world. I love that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We get it a lot where parents get involved and the one person isn't having the other person's back. Typically speaking,
it's the mother-in-law.
It's the mother-in-law.
so the groom's mom.
Typically speaking. And very much mummy boy behaviour.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen it break down multiple times because they will not say anything to their mum and say, look, you're being a bit out of line, actually.
Yeah.
So it's her wedding. It's her, let her have a day.
It's our wedding. Our wedding.
Sure, okay. That's what you want to say.
But it's definitely in challenging situations together with family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weddings heighten the family drama. For some reason, or even if you haven't got drama, there's something in the water as soon as that rings on.
Let's talk about the drama then, because I don't think I've been to a wedding where there's not been some kind of drama.
Like, every single wedding, there is something, and people will say, like, what happens? How do I stop it? Yeah. I cannot tell you what's going to happen.
Because you can't see it coming. Like,
because it's people that you... What's one of our biggest things that we say on our podcast is lower your expectations of everybody.
Right.
Lower everything that you thought people would be like for your wedding, mm-hmm. and then you'll probably be a bit easier for you.
Okay.
Because then everybody just sort of steps up above it. But what you're expecting of your bridesmaids to do, lower it.
Okay.
Lower it all the way down to the bottom.
I think that's good. Because then if they over, like, do something, you're like, oh my God, that's the best thing you've ever done.
But
like,
then when they say, oh, I'm not coming to the second day of your hen do, you're like, okay, great.
And we always say, don't tell people too much. Yeah. Because as soon as you start telling people, people have an opinion and get involved. I think keep it as minimal as possible. So they can't.
In terms of the drama, like, if there's a problem, you mean, like, don't air it. Like, don't air your...
No,
like,
don't tell people about your wedding. Don't tell them where they're sitting.
About the wedding.
Don't tell them where they're sitting. Because then they can't tell you. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not against a menu choice, but literally someone be like, I don't like that. Right.
Do you really think you should be having fish?
Yeah. Yeah.
I like fish. You're engaged in Cornwall, but in a fishery, we'll have what, like, just like... But what I want people to do is remember this when other people are getting married.
Yeah.
And be interested and be excited for them and let them choose what they're choosing. Like, mm-hmm. if they say this is what they're doing, you're like, cool, okay. And then you go home and you go, that's not what I would do, but whatever.
We get it a lot when it's a lot of clients like the monochrome black tie look at the moment. Mm-hmm. And the parents are like, you can't have black at your wedding. Funeral. It's a funeral. And we're mm-hmm. like,
don't care.
They're literally like,
yeah, like
what?
Brides in the white dresses and their bridesmaids in like black dresses. Yeah.
But it's a generate, like, they don't get it. It's different weddings. And I hope to remember that when my daughter gets married.
A mash of generations. So everyone must think so differently, because it's like the older ones think this, the young ones think this, like, and everyone's coming from different backgrounds and so-and-so doesn't get on with so-and-so, and it's like,
and why aren't you inviting your auntie's brother's sister's wife?
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, what do you mean? You saw them when you were a baby. Yeah. I don't want them on my wedding.
Yeah, I know. It's so awkward. Yeah. Like, have you got any tips for any of the, like, trying to reduce that drama? I know you can't always see it coming, but like...
The lower expectations is the biggest tip I can give anybody mm-hmm. ever. I think communicate with your partner. If your partner can understand that everything is heightened, in mm-hmm. 3 years' time, you'll look back at it and be like, why did we argue over that? Like, but at that time, it is stressful and it's really hard. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of pressure on you. There's a lot of financial pressure. There's a lot of excitement. Everything is a lot. So when somebody then says something that just infuriates you, you don't want your partner to go, just don't worry about it. No, I want you to bitch about them with me.
Yeah.
I want you to let me get mad and then we draw a line and mm-hmm. then we're fine. Like, mm-hmm. don't just be like, you're a bridezilla.
Yeah.
So I hear somebody say bridezilla again.
Well, how many bridezillas have you met in your time?
Plenty. We don't call them bridezillas, we call them type A brides.
Type A brides.
No, I disagree.
Main character. It's their wedding. You can...
I've had some bridezillas. Bridezillas that you would have sacked or got rid of or not worked with again.
Yeah.
Type A brides, to me, are very organised. They know what they're doing, and I think they're great.
But people call women who know what they want a bridezilla, and that's not right. Mm. Bridezillas are the ones that are nuts. The type A ones are just like, I'm paying for this.
Yeah.
I want this way. Mm-hmm. Like, we're like, yeah, cool. We will facilitate that for you.
Yeah.
Bridezillas are the ones that are just
mean.
Mean girls.
I think a lot of brides get mean to their bridesmaids.
But they're stressed.
It's very school ground behavior of the nastiness, and we appreciate it's stressful, but as brides, you also have to be careful how you communicate. These people are meant to be your ride or die. So mm-hmm. like, we have to bring them back down to a level sometimes, don't we? And say, look,
you
probably
sometimes
wouldn't have
invite
done
bridesmaids too early. That would be another tip.
Yeah.
Don't.
Oh yeah.
I reckon what percentage of our weddings get rid of a bridesmaid? At least 50%.
Yeah. If not more.
Really?
At least.
That shocks me.
50%. Cause they'll have 8 bridesmaids in a 2-year engagement, you are not going to be friends with 8
friends.
People
yeah.
in 2 years' time. Mm-hmm. What did we say the rule was? It was like, if you've been friends with them for more than 7 years, you can have them as a bridesmaid.
Okay.
If they're newer friends, you have to invite them a little bit later.
I always think you can add on.
Yes.
Like, closer
to
the date.
Can't take
like,
away though.
You've been there for me.
How do you dump a bridesmaid?
You think in person, I think on text.
How would you do it in person then, Beth? What would you do?
I just think you just, again, everything I say is open and honest communication. Just say, like, look, you being a bridesmaid is hard. You can say no to being a bridesmaid.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
Like, you've got to give a lot of attention. You've
money.
Got to be the yes girl. Mm-hmm. You've got to have a lot of money. Like
requirement.
Yeah.
Because you're spending things on hen do's and mm-hmm. all
outfits
of the outfits and going to here, there and everywhere with them, that it does cost money to be a bridesmaid. And I think you can say no, but it also, life happens. Sometimes bridesmaids get pregnant and you can't, like, your world changes when you have a child. Mm-hmm. I mean, I haven't had a child, but Imagine being a bridesmaid and doing all of that as well. It's just...
And it depends on the level of friendship that you had at the start of it. If you're if you're just inviting all the women that are coming to your wedding to be bridesmaids, it's just not... You need your so closest people that then you don't have these problems. But I to answer your question, just a text.
How would you word that text, though? How's that text going?
Look, we haven't been as close lately. I feel like the wedding's putting a lot of pressure on you. We'd obviously still love you to come, but we'd like you to be... something blue instead, like just,
what,
make
just wear something blue.
I think it's awkward though, because when I'm awkward. At a wedding and
if
I know
they're not coming as bridesmaid, they're not
and
coming.
I know they've been a bridesmaid and then get demoted
they're
and then they're coming. At the wedding you're like, oh, this is awkward.
They're not coming. The text says under the lines, you're not invited anymore. Yeah. You've got demoted and I don't want you there. Here's an evening invite.
Oh, you're so mean.
You wait. Honestly, I was fine with my bride. I had two and my daughter, so I was all right.
Yeah.
But I knew not to invite loads of bridesmaids. Because if I had invited the wider group, I already wouldn't be friends with one of them.
You know the mistakes not to make. Yeah. What are all the duties then as a bridesmaid or a maid of honour? Like, what should you expect? Like, what is your job? Like, if you get given that and you say yes, what is your job?
You are the hype woman.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
bring the energy, you bring the hype, especially on the morning of the wedding.
The morning of the wedding sets the tone for the whole day.
All of that. You say yes.
Say yes is the
with
biggest
no
tip.
Questions.
If you always
even
go
if
dance,
you don't want
okay,
to.
Yes.
Yes.
You want to do what? Your hand? Okay, cool. Yeah. Yeah. You want to go to Shagaloof? Okay. Yes. No problem. Like, if you have... said yes at the start, because it is a bridesmaid proposal. You're asked to be a bridesmaid.
Yes.
You can say, like you said, I just don't have the mental space for it and I don't want to disappoint you. Mm-hmm. No, thank you, but I still want to be involved in X, Y, Z. But
should the bride get upset if they say no?
They naturally would be disappointed, but you also respect
that they can't.
That they can't. And it's better than being disappointed, right?
Yeah. 100%. It might be that they're getting married. Mm-hmm. And they might say, I can't give you the attention that you require for this point. Like, you're smiling because I know you've got a bridesmaid that's already pissing you off.
No, I haven't. I've said no to being someone's maid of honour. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Long time ago now.
The
juice and the tea. Well, we're doing a special episode that's going to come out of my wedding. But I didn't know if we would talk about it then. But I'm quite happy to talk about this in this episode because I think it's a really tricky one. I'd only known the person for about 6 to 12 months. They were my next door neighbor. And I just think it was sad. Like, they didn't have a bunch of like cute girlfriends to ask. And I just think I was like the closest person to them. And conveniently, I was an event manager at that moment in time. And I just think they thought, she'll love planning a hen. But I hadn't met her family. I didn't know anyone else apart from like her and the partner. Don't get me wrong. Like, we live literally next door. So we were dead close. And it wasn't that I said no. It was like, I felt so guilty about it for like weeks. And then I had to send a message just like, I just don't think I'm the right person to do this.
Yeah.
And it was awkward, and she never ever spoke to me ever again. And I was just like,
I was trying to be nice.
It was literally, I was like, I'm trying, like, but I don't
know. If
wanna,
that's what you're
like,
going to fall out on, I'd rather know now.
Yeah. I'm so glad I did it though. Yeah. Even though it was a horrible thing to like go through, I'm so glad I said that, because also she wasn't getting married for like another 2.5 years. So bearing in mind, our friendship has shorter than the time it would have been to her wedding.
Yeah.
So I just kind of looked at it and I was like, you're getting married in like 20, it would have been like 20
years. Ask me again in 2026.
It was so, so far away. And then what happened is then COVID happened. So her wedding got postponed even later because I know, because of like Facebook and stuff like that. Because I didn't end up going. And so this wedding, this would have gone on for 3 years and I'd have had to have pretended, like not pretended for 3 years, but just been uncomfortable and just gone through it all for the whole 3 years. And I'm so glad that I did it.
Yeah.
But I also still feel shit about it to this day. Because like...
Yeah, but you would have let her down close to a wedding. And it would have
been
awful.
I don't know if I would. I think if I'd have said I'm going to do it, I think I would
have
done it. But I would have
emotionally let her down because she wouldn't have been able to be there properly. Like, not what somebody deserves as a maid of honour.
No.
Like, you need your best.
I didn't know her well enough.
But again,
it was awkward.
You should never feel guilty for communicating how you feel.
Yeah.
And if that's what's going to draw a line under it, they weren't the right...
You're such a bitch.
It wasn't the right one, for sure.
Let's take a quick pause for a second. If you're an OG listener of the podcast, you'll know I haven't always had the easiest ride with my mental health in my 20s. Our newest paid partner, BetterHelp, which gives you access to online therapists, is something that's helped me immensely. With BetterHelp, you can have your therapy sessions as a phone call, a video chat, or even via messaging if you prefer that. Whatever is the most comfortable version of therapy for you. To get started, you fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs, and then you'll get matched with a therapist, in most cases within 48 hours or less. You'll then be able to schedule therapy sessions at a time that's convenient for you. Click the link in the description or visit betterhelp.com/talk20s, and that link will also get you 10% off your first month too.
People take on that role too lightly.
Yeah.
It comes with, we get we got people sort of come back to us on this when we had said all the jobs that a bridesmaid should be doing. People were like, no, they're supposed to enjoy the day. No, they've got jobs. Unfortunately, they've got jobs.
Yeah.
And then once those bits are done, like your job is to just make that bride feel like the most important person on the day.
Yeah.
Sort her dress out, give her a drink, make sure that her hair looks good in that photo. Like you're literally supposed to be keeping an eye on her.
Make sure she eats.
Until the end of the wedding breakfast. Then you party and then you dance and then you make sure everyone's having a good time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But there's jobs first. Mm-hmm. If you want the free dress and you want the hair and makeup and you want all that stuff, that's how you give it back.
How much should the couple be paying for like the dresses, the bouquets, like at what point should the couple be paying for it?
We always say there's a rule, isn't there? That if you're not paying...
We make a lot of rules, can you tell?
If you're paying for the dress, then you have an opinion on the dress, essentially. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If not, we find it where they say they have six bridesmaids and they'll say, look, these are the colours I want you to go for or the shades I want you to go for. You guys they pay for them yourself. Mm-hmm. Go on.
I just don't think... I think if you're a bridesmaid... And you're paying for your own dress, your own hair, you're a guest.
You're working for free.
The normal ones are dress, bouquets, hair, makeup. Mm-hmm. My bridesmaids got their own shoes, but if they're getting their own shoes, they get to pick what shoes they're having. I don't get a say on that.
Yeah, yeah.
They get their shoes, they get their handbag, they sort out their accommodation for the wedding, like all of those things. But I think to be a bridesmaid, you should be covering those bits. Really. So it can be expensive. So again, don't invite everybody.
What is the average cost of a wedding nowadays? So you see?
What we think or what it actually is?
No, what you think.
Oh, okay.
I don't really care what you guys think.
Yeah, of course. We're the experts here.
Yeah.
Well, to give you some context, there was a study that came out recently that said the average wedding in the UK is 17 and a half. That's utter bullshit.
I was going to say, that doesn't
absolutely
sound like...
Not.
That will literally get you a venue. Like,
yeah, it's...
But we need to remember there's budget, there's DIY, there's budget, there's high end, there's luxury, and then there's like
celebrity.
Yeah.
There's so many different tiers, and we work in certain.
I guess they're putting into that mix, going to the registry office and just signing on thing, which costs £0.
Would go into that.
Does it not?
Doesn't cost £0 for registry office.
£0.
They charge you some money.
Yeah. That's £1,000.
Yeah.
If you just went to
what is realistically like, let's have a run through of all the costs of like, all the different things, like venue on average. Like
you could get a really good wedding for £30,000. That's where I sit.
Okay.
You probably sit higher because you want more decor.
Mm-hmm.
But you could do a good wedding for £30,000. Definitely.
No, that's a no from Beth.
She's bougie.
I work with higher end clients, essentially. Yeah. So my world is slightly different to Georgie's. Georgie's the people's
wedding planner. That
is where Georgie brands herself and wants to sit. She does do some of them, but she wants to be able to help people that need the help. And that, like, you love the DIY, you love the personality, whereas I'm like, production.
Give me some money so I can put some big flowers in there.
And like, chandeliers and the lot. So like, I would say typically for me, my clients would be looking
Spit
around.
It out. Say it, Beth.
It's difficult because I've got some that are high.
Just say.
No, I'd probably say more to like the 70K to 100K.
The people that are listening that are in their 20 thinking, shit, I've got a nice name. That's an expensive
70K,
wedding.
It's a lot.
Yeah, but the venues that we work at around £20,000 alone.
Yeah.
Like we work at big venues.
Well, let's run
London.
Through all the different things. Like, first of all, I want to know, what's the most expensive wedding that you've worked on? Like in terms of what they spent on it, do you think?
300.
Over £500,000.
That's crazy.
But they're still cheap. We're still...
Are they still together?
Yes.
Okay, thank God.
But although there was a study that also said that the people that spend the more money on their weddings last less.
Less time. Because it's all about the wedding and the event and stuff like that.
And then they finish and then they're like, oh.
We always think it's in proportion. If you've got the money to spend and you're comfortable spending it, in reality, over £500,000 to someone could be 50K to someone else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
It's 10% of their annual whatever. Yeah.
No matter what, you say you've got to be comfortable with what you're spending.
Yeah.
There is nothing worse than spending something you can't afford, even if that's £5,000, £10,000. Like I literally don't, I work with everybody. Like I've got lower end clients that I work with who just hire things from us.
Yeah.
And it means their wedding's no better or less than any.
You've got to be able to wake up the next day and go, worth it.
That was
totally
well
worth it. I've now got 5 years to keep paying that off.
I think it's the hardest thing is actually getting parents to understand how much a wedding costs. Because when my mum was like, oh, I think my wedding costs like, I don't know, like...
£6,000?
£6,000. She literally said to me like £6,000. And I went, sorry, what? Like, that's ridiculous.
Literally what a dress is.
And then I know. Yeah. And I like, and I'm now explaining and like how much my wedding's gonna cost. And she was like, that's so expensive.
But
like,
so is everything else. Your house was,
everything's gone up. Like,
you have to do it as a percentage of the house price of that year. That's how I try and explain it to other people. Yeah. So that $6,000, her house was only 12.
Yeah.
So you spent half the cost of a house, mum. Oh my God, that's disgusting.
Yeah.
House is now at 300,000. So I should be spending 150,000 if we're looking at inflation and we're going to play that game. So, girl math.
Yeah.
I do think it's because, again, it's very similar in day-to-day life. It's the weddings that are seen on Pinterest and the weddings that are seen on Instagram aren't the 10 grand weddings, aren't the 5 grand weddings. They're the bigger million-pound
weddings.
So
people are trying to do an Instagram wedding on a Primark budget, maybe. Yes.
Yeah. And that's where, again, we have this horrible situation of trying to impress everybody online.
Mm.
When actually you don't need to.
Yeah.
Mm. You really don't need to. And it's, again, we always say, what you see online is usually celebrity weddings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Usually famous
and
weddings.
And I bet they weren't fun.
No.
I bet they weren't.
And I bet they were all paid for by OK. Some
of
them.
They would, but yeah, that's the thing. A big chunk of it would have been, I bet the wedding started at 11 a.m. to give them enough time to do a photo shoot in the middle of it. Like, as a guest going to it, I do question how much fun they had in the daytime. Mm-hmm. I imagine the evening was absolutely epic. But for us normal folk, let's just ensure that the experience bit is there and that we're ticking off the bits that you want as a couple. What's important to you guys as a couple? Mm-hmm.
What makes
double
sense
down
to
on that.
You guys as a couple? And Georgie's great. And this is why I say Georgie's the people's wedding planner, because you can give that experience on low ticket items.
Yeah.
Like we can get that personality through.
When people tell me decor's the most important thing, I go, cool, here you go.
Yeah. But some people are like, I don't care about the decor, I care about the band.
Yeah.
Like I've said to people,
I'm sorry, Beth, I'm a person who doesn't really care about the decor
that's
as much.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want this nice
want
flower arrangement
nice.
And I want it to look nice. But I cared more about having live music.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I said to someone at our tour the other day, I said, I'd rather you not have me and have the band that we had playing because the feeling that they create, the emotion they create.
Yeah, it's the emotional thing of the live music. I just can't, I'll just start crying. I straight away, I just love it. Like,
I have a lot of
I won't cry over flowers.
Yeah. Clients who are in interior design.
So
obviously and there's a lot
world
of expectation of what people are going to look at, what their wedding is going to look like.
Yeah.
So they go to Beth and go, oh my God, it has to look perfect.
Yeah.
Whereas that's not for everyone. I wish that would be one of my biggest tips to couples, is that you don't want everybody else's wedding.
Mm.
Like, don't just do what everybody else is doing. Have your wedding. So that it's your, you want guests to sit down and go, this is very them.
Mm-hmm.
I would be offended if people sat down and were like, this is exactly what I want for my wedding. I don't want people to say that. I want them to be like, well, that wouldn't make sense
that's
to
true.
Me.
Like,
that's the bit. That's the good
it
bit.
It makes total sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense why you have a whole podcast on this topic, because there are so many different angles to weddings. Like you could literally talk for days and days and days. Like, I can't cram much more into this episode because there's literally, you know, so many different angles to weddings that like it's, such a massive industry. And I know with your tour that you're doing at this moment in time, you're bringing all of your suppliers together, the people that you work with daily. Like, it is a whole industry in itself.
Yeah. And these brides come and they just leave their wedding planning at the door and walk in and just let their hair down because they get wild.
But do you know what your friend said the other day? She said it was the safest I felt on a night out.
Yeah,
because it's just brides.
It's just, and everyone had something in common. Mm-hmm. And we didn't look at it like that. And everyone must have felt so relaxed to just, and confident.
Because they all know that they're already like here with life and stress and drama. So that when they just got there, everyone was so nice to each other.
But it was also brides of all different shapes and sizes.
Yeah. Grooms
all different
as well,
wedding
don't
budgets.
Get us wrong. Yeah.
Some grooms are in there. And it was just, everyone had that common interest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And no matter what your background was,
just
they were all excited for each other.
Love it.
Yeah. Mm.
Right, well, I would love to chat to you guys a little bit more about your 20s, your failures, your like all the things that you kind of associate. Like, we love diving into people's adulting disasters or failures. For you guys, if you've got some interesting stories you can share with us.
You going? Shall
you
go?
You go.
I would like to preface my bit saying this is not a mistake, but it was. I got pregnant at 21. 21 years old, found out I was pregnant the week after my 21st birthday. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, there's my life gone. Brilliant.
Is that genuinely how you felt?
Genuinely,
at the time?
We cried.
Really?
We were lucky that we had been together for a couple of years. We'd been traveling. We'd just bought a house. We'd just put a deposit down on our first house.
Wow.
Both worked in our first full-time proper jobs. And then was like,
okay.
Yeah. Our whole life is totally over.
Yeah.
And in hindsight now, it's literally the best thing that's ever happened.
Of course.
Not even because she's wonderful, but genuinely because now we are doing all of that stuff later and we're older to be able to make the decisions.
I think it's natural to think like your life is over. I think that's most people will like, go to done. That kind yeah. of zone unless they've wanted kids young.
Yeah.
But like, I think it's nice to also hear that like, I think a lot of people do say that, like once they're in your life, you can't ever imagine a life without them, can you?
No, and I would not be where I am now mm-hmm. if I hadn't done that earlier.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to start telling everyone to have kids at 21. That's not yeah. what I'm saying in this. But I think people worry so much about that part of their life. But actually, there's a whole chunk after. Mm-hmm. She's now 10. Yeah. I now have time to be coming on a podcast on her yeah. when like mid-lunchtime and things yeah. like that. So I think the lesson from that is that something happened and we can either think our lives are over and then just sort of half-ass the rest of our lives and yeah. forever blame it was the fact that we had a child at 21 when actually we've totally flipped it and we're like, cool, okay, that means she'll be out when I'm 40.
Yeah.
Like she'll be going to Twasit for your own house, see you later. Yeah, yeah. And we have all this time. So take something like that and just be like,
I think it's
okay.
also nice to be a young mum as well.
It was like, yeah. I've got energy. Yeah. I'm all right. I'm
a MILF age as well. I think it's nice. Yeah.
But I get what she's talking about. She's like, oh, my friends are on Snapchat. I'm like, yeah, I'm on Snapchat.
Yeah.
Go and tell your friends that I'm famous on TikTok.
Yeah. What about you, Beth?
I've got a few, I think. Based on kind of growing a business, I'd probably say is one of the biggest things, but it comes hand in hand with what I'm going to say. I grew my business very, very quickly and I had no strategy. Mm. And we blew it up and it was
mad.
We grew so quickly we couldn't control the growth. We didn't understand the back end of the business. We were like, let's just go. I want to be £1 million business. Yeah. And I think it was, there was this fabrication of what a business owner is mm-hmm. and growing a business is. And I just think I wasn't educated enough. Like you learn every single day and you have to be open to learn every single day. But that was really tough. But trusting people along the ride was tough as
don't
well.
Don't trust anyone.
And I just think understanding your emotions. I think in my early 20s, I really didn't understand why I behaved in a certain way or yeah. why I got upset about something mm-hmm. or why I was so angry about so many different things. It could be like why I was so happy or like any of that. So it's like understanding your emotions. And I think that was the biggest turning point for me in my mid-20s when I was like, that's why I'm upset. Mm. Because sometimes it came down to communication mm-hmm. and I had like a false representation in my head. I was like, well, I thought we were going to do it this way.
Mm-hmm. But there was like, nothing in writing.
There was nothing in writing. Yeah. It was just in my head. And I think understanding like my emotions was one of the biggest things I ever learned in my 20s. But yeah, having no strategy behind what I was doing also was a big failure.
So did you just like hire loads of people and then how did you manage all of this? Like at what point did you go, big fail?
I think it...
was it the 17th time you cried?
Yeah. I just think, again, it came down to like trust. I had a bit of a relationship with somebody in the industry and... I wouldn't say I got manipulated, but there was something in me that was like, actually, no, I don't want this. And mm-hmm. I think I didn't want the biggest and I didn't want the best company. And I actually changed the direction I was going to serve more people. And it was just like, you know how mad it was. Like we just blew up. And I think it got to a point where I was like, actually, no, like in managing different personalities, like becoming a leader myself, mm-hmm. I needed coaching and mentoring.
Yeah.
So I invested in myself. And when I invested in myself and learned from somebody else,
yeah,
that's when I had that reality check. They were like, actually, no, this is mm-hmm. what you need to do. And this is how you need to navigate it. Because again, because I didn't have that strategy, I didn't know what my end goal was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So therefore I was just jumping against this dream of like, I want to hit the numbers.
Yeah.
But actually, no, I wanted the quality of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's a good story about, I'm totally miswording all of this quote, basically, but in my own words, a guy met this guy in, I don't know, Thailand, mm-hmm. and he was out fishing and he used to get some fish for his family. He used to come home by lunchtime. They'd sit and eat dinner together and have their time together. Mm-hmm. And the guy was like, this is the best fish I've ever had. Like, you need to do it more. And he was like, okay, why? He's like, well, if you've got more people, you could get more fish, you could sell more and mm-hmm. you could have more money. And he was like, okay, why would I do that? He's like, because then when you do that, you can get more people hiring for you. You can get even more. You can go overseas and do it and you can sell to even more people. He's like, cool. Yeah. Why would I do that? Basically get down to the end of it. If you do all of that, you could then be home by lunchtime and be with your yeah. family. He's like, that's literally what I'm doing now. And I was like, damn. Like,
yeah.
What is the point?
That's such a good way like, of looking at it.
What is the point?
Yeah.
If you just want to be having a nice life and enjoying your time,
yeah.
why are you doing all these things to try and get straight back to that bit?
I think it's the pressures of like social media and like everyone
absolutely.
Around you, like being like, you've got to do X, Y, Z.
Managing people is one of the hardest things as well, especially being a young female in business. Mm-hmm. That was one of the massive
very
struggles I had.
Very little respect.
Very mm-hmm. little respect. And even in the industry, like now we still get-
And it's a female dominant industry and yet there's still a lot of-
Really? Mm,
yeah. Yeah. A lot of- Barriers.
But yeah, no, barriers. I caught it at a good time and reined it back in and did quality over quantity.
Yeah. Love that. And I also like that you obviously like got external help as well. Because yeah. I think every single person at the top, if you're the top of the organization, that doesn't mean that like you should do things in a silo. Like you should definitely like yeah. speak to, whether it's, I don't know, a life coach or a business mentor or someone, just someone that you can actually bounce ideas off of. Because that I just think it's so important to not be in an echo chamber as well.
Mm, for sure.
We always ask our guests as well, like everyone, no one's the finished product. Like everyone is doing shit or something, basically. Something is probably going wrong in their lives. For you guys, what is it that you're trying to get better at right now?
I'll take my wrong version of a story again, like Georgie, and try and explain it in our misquotes. One of the biggest things, again, it comes back to that strategy and that end result of we absolutely burn out. Like,
of course,
both of us do. And I'm very guilty of it because I strip my team as well. I do more work now and things like that. But there was a quote that I come across, and it was basically saying, if you bought $1 million racehorse, you'd feed them the best. You'd train the best. Mm-hmm. They'd sleep the best. They'd look the best. Their hair would be the best.
They'd have the best trainer.
They'd have the best, absolutely everything, because they would perform and they'd win. They'd show up every single day and they'd do well. And in our industry, especially, you don't even do basic hygiene sometimes. Like, you're lucky if you shower.
Yeah.
Like, it isn't it? Like, when you're so back to back, and it's like looking after yourself, because you have to show up every day, and you need people to want to work with you. So you need to be your best self.
So you need to have a shower.
Yeah. I do shower now.
She smells fine, guys.
But like when we speak to wedding suppliers, they're like, yeah,
we literally eaten, like,
brush my teeth, maybe had a shower, got into bed, and then went again. It is relentless. Mm-hmm. The industry, it's incredible, but it's just looking after yourself to be the best version of yourself that you can show up every single day and not regret. Like, if you didn't get sleep, you're then snappy and things like that. You want to be performing the best, I suppose. So looking after
you.
Me.
Mine is, I will give you one of my quotes as well. We love a quote. My favorite quote ever is, you can do anything, not everything. So
that's a great quote.
I'm still not there.
Yeah.
No, you're not.
I am nowhere
at
near there. I want to please everybody.
Yeah.
I want everybody to like me. Mm-hmm. I want everyone to feel like they get my full attention. I want to be a good mum. I want to be a good wife. I want to be a successful businesswoman. I want to earn good money.
Yeah.
But I also don't want to care about money. But I want to look good. But I also don't want to care about what I look like. And I can't say no to anything. Mm-hmm. I don't say no to anything, because I just, first of all, I get FOMO and I just want to be, I want to be involved in it all. Mm-hmm. And I really do love my life. So I want to try and do everything at 100%. And it's literally impossible.
Yeah.
Literally impossible. So coming and doing this today is awesome. At the result of that, I'm not with my family, or I haven't seen my friends, or I haven't gone to the gym, or I haven't eaten well. Like,
by choosing to say yes to one thing, you say no to a lot of other things you don't even realize you're saying no to.
I wonder if I'll ever learn it, but at some point in my life, and I feel like this is the different generations that you go through. Like, I'm hoping in my 50s, I will have a very chill life and it'll all be very calm, and I'll say no to like 90% of the things that come my way, but I'm just not there yet. And I don't even know if that's a bad thing, because in my 20s, and people in their 20s, I would say you say yes to everything.
Yeah.
Say yes to it all, get all the opportunities you can get, learn what you then want to do and what you don't want to do, but then do what I'm not doing and then start to say no things.
Yeah. We're in that era of, I feel like I'm very much leaning into it way more than you are, is can't please everybody in the room.
Yeah.
You're never going to please everyone in the room. And I think that's really hard for Georgie, because she wants everyone to be like
you'd think I'd be nicer, seeing as I want everyone to like me.
But like, sometimes you really dislike that, whereas I've started setting boundaries now, but I'm still working on it. But like,
it really bothers me if people don't like something, and I'm like, oh, but what can I change about myself to make you like me? Well, actually, I don't even like everybody. So why would I want them to like me? So I'm learning that.
That's exactly. Well, these are wise words. And I don't even know how you're going to answer the last question that we always ask all our guests, which is, what one piece of advice would you give to your 20-year-old self? If you could look at 20-year-old Beth and George, if they were sat on the sofa
there.
Don't
get pregnant. I'm joking. It was a great decision.
What would you want to say? Like, if you could literally pass on one piece of wisdom.
Ride the wave. Mm. Ride the wave. It's going to get lonely. It's going to get tough. And when you hit rock bottom, you're going to hit even further rock bottom. Mm. But there is only one way up. Mm-hmm. And if it was easy, everybody would be doing it.
Oh, I love that saying so much. Nice. Good choice. How are you going to talk that? Like,
go on. Everything's a competition, so she'll nail this.
I will win. Go on. I'm joking. I actually don't know. I genuinely think that you have to like yourself. Genuinely. Mm. And I don't just mean you have to like what you're doing and stuff like that. I was not an on my own person. Like, I didn't want to just be in my own company. I wanted to be around boyfriends or mates, or I'd rather be in a room with someone that I didn't like than by myself. And then I think bad things happen in your life to give you that change. Mm. And I think a lot of times, as you spoke to people about the worst thing that's ever happened to them, they wouldn't take it back because from that something has come. So I had a rough year where everything was going wrong and people were like just horrendous. And now I look back, I was like, that, I realized that was when I found, this is a bit deep, this, but I genuinely myself.
Yeah.
And went and did a holiday by myself and went and learned to surf by myself and went and just figured out what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, made everybody else happier because I like myself now. And now when if I'm gracing you with my time, like that's how I think you genuinely need to think of yourself as top tier. Like if I'm spending time with you, aren't you lucky to be spending time with me? But equally, aren't you lucky?
I feel so lucky to have done this episode.
I also feel the same way that you're giving up your time to be with us. So like, I think genuinely trying to figure out yourself is a lifelong lesson anyway, but that's what your 20s are for. Mm-hmm. I genuinely believe that that's what your 20s are for. Mm-hmm. And now I'm not in my 20s. I look back to my 20s and think, I'm so glad I spent that time testing it, testing the waters and figuring out what I liked. So now in my 30s, plain sailing.
It goes back to understanding yourself and understanding why you are the way you are and looking deeper. Like, I think there's a massive taboo about therapy, and there's a massive taboo about mentorship. And those are the things I say both kind of gave us the green light and said,
go for it.
You have to look at yourself in a different light. And it's so, and I think with parents as well in a different generation, sometimes those conversations aren't open.
Yeah, they don't get it.
They don't know. They don't get it. So I think that's the biggest thing I say to anyone in their 20s. If you're confused about yourself in any shape or way,
just try it.
Figure it out.
Yeah.
What's the worst, like realistically in your 20s, what's the worst thing that can happen? If you get a new job and you hate it, what's really the worst thing that's going to happen? Mm-hmm. You go back and live with your mum and dad. Mm-hmm. You get a job in a supermarket. You earn a bit of money and you try again. Like your 20s are genuinely for just trial and error.
Yeah.
And then by your 30s, try and bring it together a little bit.
I love it. Well, I've loved this episode of Talk 20s and Unfiltered Bride. You guys are amazing. I absolutely love your podcast. As a bride-to-be, I am like binging it all from start to finish. And I absolutely love it. So obviously everyone can listen to you on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. They can find you on YouTube. Yep. You've got your tour coming up. It might have already finished by the time this comes out.
But it will be back again. You're going to do it again? 100%.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, we're also going to do a little bonus episode where you guys are going to grill me on my wedding.
We're taking over.
This is going to come out when my wedding is.
Are you lucky to be on our podcast?
I'm so lucky to be on your podcast. But guys, stay tuned for that bonus episode. A big thank you to Riviera Iced Tea for our drinks here in the studio today. They're our drink sponsor. We hope you enjoy this episode. Please make sure you like and subscribe, and we'll see you next week.